time for our weekly catch-up with ACT Party Deputy Leader Brooke Van Velden.
On Friday, the National Party and the ACT Party rejected a proposal for a virtual parliament, saying that democracy needs to be in person to work. And as a result, in-person parliament sittings have been conducted this week. However, the Māori Party did not send any MPs to Wellington, and the Green Party did not want to attend until Wellington was at alert level 3, which it now is as of 11:59 last night. These parties have voiced that it is not safe to have in-person parliament sittings as of yet, and believe that parliament sittings can be just as productive when they are conducted virtually. Zazi began her ACT Party catch-up by asking Brooke Van Velden why she thinks in-person parliament sittings are necessary, even at level 3 and 4, when there is a virtual alternative.
I think it's really important that at a time where we have a pandemic, the government is creating COVID orders to have people stay at home to keep everybody safe. And there is an amount of democratic, it's really important that the people who we're elected to represent have us in parliament to be able to ask the questions of the government that do need asking. And I've heard people criticize the idea that parliament shouldn't go back in person. But at the same time, you have to then ask that question, okay, well, if the prime minister believes it's a safety problem not to have opposition MPs or opposition staff in the beehive, why is it not a safety problem that the prime minister herself has a stand up at 1 p.m. every day with more journalists in a smaller room than would be needed in a parliament sitting? And that happens every day, and yet the prime minister believes that that is safe. All that's not safe is bringing a single member of parliament from the opposition down to question the prime minister. And what we have by having parliament back sitting in person is that MPs are able to question the prime minister on the strategy to make sure that lockdowns don't happen again in the future, or that the problems that we're currently facing that haven't been fixed over these last 18 months are actually questioned.
Well, the virtual sitting question time includes longer questions and answers than normal in-person parliament. It includes up to 5 minutes of questioning or rebuttal per primary question, and the sitting of subject committees with about 80% of the time going to opposition members. So why do you think that there wouldn't be scrutiny over the virtual sitting?
I think the issue that we have with the virtual sittings is that every one of those select committees is run by the government. They're run by people from the Labour Party. And we had a constructive way of asking for a virtual sitting. We asked for what's called the Epidemic Response Committee to come back. That was the committee that was established last year under the last lockdown, and that was led by the Leader of the Opposition, and it had majority opposition members on it. That was incredibly good at scrutinizing the government's priorities and asking questions not only of the ministers, but asking questions of a range of perspectives, people from members of the public, different epidemiologists, different scientists. There was a range of perspectives that were brought forward because it was led by an opposition MP. What we have here is the government who set which ministers would be called before these committees and also set the timeframes for them. That wouldn't happen with an epidemic response committee. And so we didn't think that that was right. And so we asked for Parliament to come back because it is our democratic duty to scrutinise the government, not just in normal times, but especially when we're in the middle of a pandemic, to ask those questions that the government might not want to have asked, and to ask them of people who the government might not want to call before a committee.
The leader of the Green Party, James Shaw, said more questions were asked of government ministers at select committees about the COVID-19 response last week than in the entirety of the Epidemic Response Committee held last year. What are your thoughts to this comment?
Well, I would ask why the Greens minister doesn't believe that it's his democratic right to even come to Parliament. And maybe that is because he believes he doesn't have anything to say. But my real question here is not whether we've had an adequate amount of time on select committees talking to particular members. The real question is, why is it acceptable that the Prime Minister is able to host what is considered to be a safe forum at 1 p.m. every day with more journalists in a closer confined space than would be needed for Parliament to sit? Why is that acceptable to the Prime Minister, but hosting Parliament with 10 MPs not acceptable to the Prime Minister? And so once you ask that question, you then have to ask, is it because of safety, which it can't be, or is it because the Prime Minister does not want to be held accountable answering the questions that the opposition would like to put to her?
Extending on from that, what do you say to the suggestion that ACT and National are just doing this for political grandstanding, while at the same time putting public health at risk?
Well, I would disagree that the ACT Party has been putting any public health at risk. If you look at who we have sent to Parliament, we have one MP, David Seymour, who is double vaccinated and has been tested and also has been outside of Auckland for over 2 weeks. That is definitely not unsafe.
But the leader of the opposition flew to Wellington yesterday afternoon for the city.
That's a question for the national leader. But I believe that democracy should be an essential service. If you look at how many people queue up in supermarkets every day with many, many people surrounding them, how is it not possible that we can't have democracy sit in person? I think it's absolutely outrageous, this idea that democracy is not considered an essential service.
The health advice for everyone, though, is to stay home or stay within their bubble to slow the spread of the virus, and that includes essential workers if they are able to work from home as well. And the ACT Party is able to work from home and not lose the scrutiny of the government, as the Parliament will be sitting virtually.
I would say if the government truly believed that the leader of the opposition should not have come to Wellington, they should at Parliament yesterday have asked all flights between regions to be stopped. They should have asked for all travel between regions, for all essential services and all essential workers to be stopped. But they haven't done that. What they're trying to do is say that the leader of an opposition party should not be able to come to Wellington to question the Prime Minister, to hold the government accountable to the people of New Zealand. And I think that's wrong.
Labour, the Speaker, the Greens and the Māori Party have all said that they believe Parliament should be sitting virtually instead of in person. But the Prime Minister said she was not keen to do this for a second week without the support of other parties in Parliament. Do you see it as selfish or manipulative to force people to attend who would rather be working virtually?
I don't think anybody is attending that's being forced to attend. If you look at the number of people that are required to actually have Parliament sit, it's only a handful. Every MP who is there, I believe, wanted to be there. The MPs that haven't wanted to be there aren't there. We have not forced any staff member on ACT side to go into the building, and we would never do that. But I don't believe you can equate these two things when you also have Parliament beehive staff going in on behalf of the COVID minister, on behalf of the Prime Minister. How is it possible that you can have all of those people going into Parliament and it's deemed completely safe, but you cannot have the leader of the opposition and you cannot have a staff member from the opposition? How is it possible that one is safe while the other isn't?
Brooke and I then go on to speak about butchers being closed during lockdown. ACT has spoken out about butchers being open alongside supermarkets and dairies, but what about bakers, fruit and veggie shops and others? Specifically in Auckland, do you think they should be open at level 4?
I think there are two real questions here, because there's a double standard, and it's not sure why there is a double standard. So dairies are able to open with what's called a one-in, one-out policy. So a person comes in, and then somebody else has to leave before another person can come in. That seemed safe. You have food banks that are open and operating at the same rules. But as one butcher in Auckland put it, it's just not fair. And it's not sure why that's allowed to occur when, if you're a butcher, and this usually happens, you know, butchers aren't usually just off by themselves. There's a group of shops around you. And this particular butcher says he's got a baker next to him, a fishmonger, and a greengrocer, all within the same street. They are allowed to be open and to have what's called contactless click and collect. So people can make an order, turn up to their shop, and pick it up. But he's not allowed to. All he is allowed to do is contactless delivery. And that doesn't make sense, because if a person is going to their local shops to get their fruit and veg, to get their fish, and then they want their meat, they then have to drive to the supermarket to be around hundreds of other people who might also have been going through that supermarket that day. So if we're trying to reduce risk, it doesn't appear clear why a butcher can't also have click and collect or one in and one out when they're supplying their local area. And the government, by these rules, is then forcing somebody who's wanting their meat to go further afield where they were going to go for a grocery shop.
So if butchers were able to conduct a click and collect, would ACT be satisfied that this is enough? Or would you still then want butcher stores to be open during level 4 or 3?
I think it would be safe for them to be able to have a one-in, one-out policy, like the local dairy, because we know, talking to butchers, that they have done risk analysis. They know that they could do it safely, and they've put procedures in place just in case they could have that rule changed. It doesn't appear clear why they're not deemed safe when a dairy is, or why they have been given a different set of rules to bakers and fishmongers and green growers. That's not fair, and it's also not any safer, because if you're going to your local shop corner and you've done your click and collect for all your veggies that you're wanting, why is it then that you would then have to drive to your supermarket to line up with all of these people where you could have got your fruit and veggie? And it seems like the government hasn't really looked at that long-term effect, because only a few months ago, the government was saying from their inquiry into supermarkets that there is a monopoly. There's not enough competition with smaller players in the green grocery, butchery, bakery market. They said that there wasn't enough competition within supermarkets. But by its own rules during these lockdowns, the government is reducing competition and is allowing people to only go and get their full service from a supermarket.
Obviously, there is empathy with all businesses, including butchers, that are suffering from lockdown. However, if the public health advice is to minimise the number of places of possible transmission, surely the line does have to be drawn somewhere.
I think if the government did want to minimise the risk of transmission, they would open the local butchery, because for the reason that I outlined, if you are wanting your meat, you either have to then get it delivered contactless to your door, which doesn't make sense if you're then needing to go and get everything else from your supermarket or your greengrocer. Instead of doing 2 or 3 different types of deliveries, they're forcing people to go to their supermarket when they could have just use their local shop. And for some people who are in smaller communities, they're having to travel a very long way to be surrounded by people who live in different suburbs, and then taking that risk back with them when, so in fact, they could have never left their suburb.
If butchers can be open, as well as dairies, as well as supermarkets, what stores should and shouldn't be open?
Well, I think we're getting into way too technical rules there. I think the real question is, why is it that these rules don't make sense? What does the government know that they're not telling us about the risk of butchers? Is there something that does make them riskier? And if there isn't, please outline why they have made this rule. I think it's unfair to people who work incredibly hard to be local butchers to be told you can't open. It's just not physically possible and we've deemed you unsafe when your local fishmonger can. And I think we need to have clear rules of the game and we need to be told the truth. And it appears that the government has made an arbitrary rule for no apparent reason. And I don't think that is fair for people who do put their heart and soul into their local store to be told under no certain terms that they can't open.
That was Deputy Leader Brooke Van Velden from the ACT Party.